Penguin Random House Audio presents Smart, Not Loud: How to Get Noticed at Work for All the Right Reasons. This is the author, Jessica Chen. For My Family. Preface. When I first conceptualized this book, it was supposed to be a tactical communication guide for Asian Americans in the workplace. However, the more I worked on it, the more I realized the struggles and friction I wanted to highlight were felt by many people around the world. Feelings of being overlooked, voiceless, and invisible resonated everywhere. But more important, these feelings could be attributed to some of the values and beliefs we were raised to embrace. This book is for those who were raised with quiet traits but are now working in a loud world. It's for those who want to find a way of showing up and getting noticed at work without losing a part of themselves in the process. In writing this book, generalizations have been made about quiet cultures and loud cultures. The concepts of quiet and loud are painted in broad strokes and are actually much more nuanced than what's outlined. It's important to note, whether you are raised with quiet or loud traits, one is not better than the other. Both are equally valued and needed. Also, the way we show up and how we feel at work are influenced by more than just the way we were raised. This book does not cover those additional influences, nor does it dive into the prejudices, biases, and bullying that can make being seen and heard much more difficult. Names have been changed throughout to protect people's identities. Where affiliations are identified, I have used the actual names of individuals who were interviewed and shared their experience. Introduction. Kevin, a junior associate at a large consumer brand, entered his boss's office, burdened by an overwhelming feeling of disappointment. He was unable to comprehend why he had been passed over for a promotion he had been eagerly anticipating. Determined to get to the root of the matter, he approached his boss, Ben, and asked the question that had been weighing on his mind. "You liked my work. How come I didn't get the promotion?" Ben, who had been busy juggling several pressing matters, turned to Kevin and responded, "Let me show you something." He strode over to the whiteboard in his office, took hold of a dry erase marker, and drew several circles. "Within each circle are the things going on in my life right now," Ben explained. "I'm thinking about my own promotion. I'm thinking about my client who is upset at me. I'm thinking about my wife who wants me to go to a dinner event with her. I'm thinking about my dog that just injured his leg. I'm thinking about my kids and their upcoming baseball game. I have 30 employees, three of whom are always coming into my office making small talk." He paused, then continued, "You don't come into my office, so how often do you think I'm going to think about you when I have all these things occupying my brain?" Kevin stood there stunned. He had never thought about it that way. He figured his work would and should speak for itself. "I like you a lot," Ben added. "I know you have a lot of potential, but you need to proactively come into my office and make your presence part of my daily brain." This story was shared by my friend Michael Chen as we were chatting on Zoom one afternoon about what it takes to find workplace success today. Chen is the former president and CEO of General Electric's Media, Communications, and Entertainment Division. As Chen shared this story, I couldn't help but reflect that I could relate to Kevin's plight. Growing up, I was never taught the importance of making myself visible, of continually following up as a way of staying top of mind. I was never taught the importance of being proactive or how to speak up with tact. Instead, I was taught to work hard, hit my key performance indicators, and not cause trouble. The expectation was that as long as I did these things, promotions and raises would follow like clockwork. However, as with Kevin, it didn't take long for me to see that this formula wasn't actually what was needed to be successful in the workplace. What actually mattered was the ability to showcase myself. Not only that, communication and being visible were required and rewarded. Thus, a paradox started to form. How was I supposed to be loud when I was only ever taught to embody more quiet traits? I've discovered there's a group of us today who are raised in what I call a quiet culture. People like us are told from an early age to follow instructions, listen to others, talk less, and let our work speak for itself. But those raised in a loud culture are taught to do virtually the opposite, share their opinions frequently, make a lot of noise, and carve out opportunities for themselves. One is not better than the other, but when one cultural context is placed in another, the ability to get noticed in a way that feels right becomes difficult. Early on, when I started to feel stuck at work, I immersed myself in learning, listening, and reading all the communication and leadership content out there to glean insight into how to become more loud and visible. While insightful, many of the teachings didn't address my most pressing question. Could I still hold on to my quiet culture values, or did I need to mold myself and become a loud person to fit in? And if I didn't, would I just become utterly forgotten? As I began to look around, one of the most surprising things I found was that I wasn't alone in feeling this way. Many people, like me, who were raised with quiet culture values, felt unsure about how to chime in or show up in a loud culture working world. They also felt like they didn't know how to do it without acting a certain way. It's why I have dedicated this book to talking about quiet culture and loud culture. Specifically, this book is for those who were raised with quiet culture traits and are now working in a loud culture world. Because the truth is, this friction goes beyond just being an introvert or extrovert. It's something deeper. It's the values and beliefs we have been taught in our most formative years that have shaped who we've become, what we know, and what behaviors we find comfort in. This book is a guide, a dedication, and a personal reflection of sorts that explores the question I hoped to answer years ago. Over time, I have discovered that it is possible to be noticed exactly the way we want to be without complete acculturation. We can still honor that quiet culture part of our nature while expanding what we know, how we act, and how we communicate so we can better express ourselves in the workplace today. This is what part one of this book is about. We will dive deeper into the two worlds of quiet culture and loud culture, and we will unveil what each looks like. We will also talk about how to find a cultural balance through what I call our cultural reframes, which will help us rethink how we engage with others, spend our time at work, handle wins, and manage conflict. I don't discount the fact that there is such a thing as a quiet culture bias that exists in the workplace, so we will spend time talking about it, including sharing tips on how to overcome it, specifically the things we tell ourselves. Because, as the saying goes, we can't keep doing the same thing over and over and expect different results. We need a new roadmap. From there, we enter part two of the book, which takes our reframes and gives them legs. I call this step implementing our quiet capital framework, a three-pillar structure that allows us to be seen exactly the way we want. The three pillars are shaping our career brand, establishing credibility, and advocating for ourselves. We will go over step by step how to apply these pillars to our daily work, because the truth is, if we don't control the narrative of how people perceive us and what others think of us, the opportunities we get will be left to chance. With every great plan comes hopeful.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?